Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to be with you all today. Good to be a family, right? We're a tight-knit family. I love it. I love it. I'm also very much looking forward to a little warm-up this week. I never thought that I would think 35 degrees is warm. All right, well, grab your Bibles. Turn with me, if you would, to Colossians chapter 2. We have made it to chapter 2. So we've been talking and learning about being supporters of truth. The Bible says that the church is the pillar and support of the truth. And so we've talked about four different ways from chapter 1 that we can do that: by building relationships with people, then by praying for those people, also by really working hard to understand the mysteries of Christ, the forgiveness and freedom and all of the rewards that we have in Him. Because it's the things that you and I understand that we are willing to get into conversations with people about. So the more we understand it and experience it, the more we'll be able to give it away to someone else. And then last week we talked about just simple, old-fashioned hard work. We support the truth because we are willing to serve other people, we're willing to share with other people, and work hard for the kingdom of Jesus, even though we may not always feel like it, even though we may run into trouble because of it. So this week we're going to dive into a new idea. But before we do, I'd like to give a word of caution. Because actually, the main theme of the book of Colossians, I don't think, is being supporters of truth. We're looking at the book of Colossians through that lens and figuring out how we can be supporters of truth. But the main theme of Colossians really is that you are complete in Christ. The theme is that He is the living, loving Word of God. He is the answer to everything that you need in your life. And so it's kind of a side benefit that as we grow in Him, then we'll become stronger and stronger supporters of truth. So the thing is, we don't want to miss the forest for the trees, right? That old expression, you know, we don't want to get in the woods. And we're looking so hard and so long at this one big beautiful tree that we miss everything that we are surrounded by. And this beautiful forest that we're in, that we are surrounded by, that envelops us, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that surrounds us. If you look back at verse 28 of the first chapter, we proclaim Him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. You're complete in Him. And becoming a supporter of truth is just a side benefit of all of this. So we're going to pray together, then we're going to dive in. And the main thought for today is that you and I become supporters of truth as we live out the truth. We talked about four things already, but job number one is living it out. Remember what Jesus said? A disciple, when fully trained, will be like his teacher. Your disciples are going to be like you. They're not going to be like what we say. They're going to become like us. So that has to be our number one goal. And really, Paul's going to be diving into that. That's where we're going to be for the most of the rest of the book. So let's pray together, and then we'll start chapter 2. Lord in heaven, we just worship you together this morning, Lord. How I thank you for this family called Life Song. I thank you for these great friends, Lord, brothers and sisters that you've brought together. How I love and treasure them and their friendship. And I just pray, Lord, as we study your word together today, Lord in heaven, be our teacher. Move us forward on this journey, Lord. We've come a long ways, but we still have a long ways, a great distance that we could grow in for your glory. And we just ask you, Lord, to take us on that journey today. A step further today, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right. So in chapter 2, Paul keeps building on this thought from verse 28 and 29 of chapter 1. In chapter 1, he was telling us how hard he is working to help every man become complete in Christ. And so he dives right back into that same vein of thought in verse 1 of chapter 2. He says, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf." It's really an interesting word. The Greek word there that he uses for struggle is the word agon. And it came from the Greek national games. So it later came to mean any struggle or contest or battle, that type of thing. So the word here, really, you could kind of compare it to our Olympics. I didn't watch them, but I understand that the Olympic Games just started again. And if you've ever watched them very much, you understand the hard work and struggle that those people have to put into that, right? I mean, they get up before it's light, and they are working all day long with everything they've got to achieve the degree of excellence that they have in those games. And so here in a similar way, Paul says, I am working hard for this, as I believe the Lord wants us to do as well. And what is he working so hard for? How great a struggle I have on your behalf, and for those who are in Laodicea, and for all those who have not personally seen my face. Okay, so he is working, brothers and sisters, for us. He says for all those, he mentioned a couple of specific places, but for all those who have not personally seen my face. You know, Paul and the Lord were both good at this, seeing into the future. And he wants us to grow in Christ as well. So what's he working so hard for? Keep going in verse 2. That their hearts may be encouraged. Hearts may be encouraged. The idea there is that God wants to do something in our lives that begins right at the very center of us. It doesn't just mean that we show up on Sunday morning and we put on a happy face and keep it plastered on as long as we're here. Right? It means that God wants to change me from the very depths of my being and make me a new creation in Christ, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love. I want your hearts encouraged. I want you to be knit together in love. Now, I've never tried knitting. I've watched a few ladies in my life work on it. Never really had that much interest. But you understand what, you know, it's those different pieces of yarn are being all interwoven in an incredible way. You know, in my word picture would be, I see it as two rivers coming together, you know. Kathy and I used to do a lot of canoeing. We used to love canoeing. So if you've got this huge area that's filling this one riverbed and another area filling another, and you're on your canoe and all of a sudden the two rivers come together, you've doubled the size of the river, but what's happened? All that water has become one. Hearts knit together in love. This is Jesus' goal for us as a church family, as the people of God, that we will come together and we will be one. Here's his a third goal. And attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery. That is Christ himself. Okay, so he wants you to be wealthy. And that means riches. That means abundance. But he's not talking about money or possessions when he's talking about that. He's talking about having a true knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ himself. Really understanding God's mystery. So we're going back to that thought from chapter 1. How well do we understand this? Our goal, I believe that this should be our progression. We understand Christ died for our sins. He's offering us forgiveness. We accept him. We embrace him. He comes into our lives. And we have that forgiveness, that freedom in Christ. We really begin to understand that more deeply. And then we give it away to others. We become supporters of truth. But Paul really wants them to understand the riches and the wealth that will come to them from understanding this mystery, from living out this mystery that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3 tells us a second thing about it. It says, in whom, that is in Christ, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ. Maybe you remember reading from the book of Job. Remember, a lot of trials came into Job's life. And for a long time, he was doing really well. His buddies came and they said, Job, it's all your fault. You must have sinned somehow or another. Well, evidently, that was not the case. That's not why he was suffering. But in spite of it all, after it went on for a long time, Job got kind of bitter. And he starts accusing God and demanding to have his own private counsel with God. So one day the Lord comes to him, finally, and kind of opens his eyes. He says, Job, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Where were you when I put every star in place and named them all? Where were you when I told the oceans, you can come this far, and that's as far as you can come? And he goes on for like two chapters just asking Job question after question after question. And Job finally has to say, Lord, I am so sorry. I talked about things I knew nothing about. I repent in dust and ashes. God is the one who has great understanding. And who was it that created this universe? The Lord Jesus. If you go back to chapter 1, verse 16, for by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. So now in chapter 2, verse 3, we're being told that in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. They are all in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that you and I need. He's the one who completes us. I was trying to think of a picture to somehow help us picture this. And the best one that I feel like the Lord put this on my heart. Anybody here ever watched the movie Apollo 13? Okay, so a number of us have. So in Apollo 13, three men are 200,000 miles from home when something happens to their space module. There's some sort of accident, they lose power, so they all have to move into this little lunar module. All three men move in there, and it becomes their little life raft. They're in outer space, 200,000 miles from home. Even in that little lunar module, they start having problems because they didn't design it for three people. They only designed it for two people. So the CO2 begins to build up in there, and NASA calls them, and they're like, man, we're afraid you're going to die. There's too much CO2 in there. In the movie, it was a funny line for me. I don't know if it happened in real life. But one of the guys says, well, should I just hold my breath? Would that help? But anyhow, NASA figures out a way to fix that little problem, and here they are. This little lunar module is their only hope of making it home alive. And friends, that is who Christ is for you and me. He is our little space capsule. He is our only hope of making it home alive. And he is our only hope of really living a fulfilled, joyful, productive, God-honoring life here on this planet, on this broken planet that we live on. The brokenness is all around us. But God wants us to live differently, live a victorious life. And friends, it is in Christ. That's where Paul is going in the rest of this book. The rest of the book of Colossians, I'm telling you, he's just trying to give you and me handle after handle after handle of how we live this life in Christ. How we become complete in Christ. It's not easy. He is our lifeline, but this is not an easy thing to learn. You and I are used to living life on our own, right? That's just who we are. I mean, especially us men, we are used to figuring it out. You know, we're the problem solvers. If there's a problem, we're going to figure it out. There's got to be a piece of equipment I've got to buy that'll fix this problem. We're not used to it. But the Bible says we're complete in Christ. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in him. And he is the one that we need. So for the rest of this book, pretty much, that's going to be our journey. How do we live this out? How do we wrap our hands around this thing of being in Christ? And there are some obstacles. In the very next verse, Paul gives the first obstacle. He says, verse 4, he says, I say this so that no one will delude you with persuasive argument. So we're not going to get into it here today in great depth. But the very first thing he's pointing out is that you and I are in a spiritual battle. We are surrounded by a spiritual battle, and you and I, as Christians, have some enemies. The Bible describes them in most places as three main enemies. It would be the world, Satan, who has deceived this world and led it astray. Those would be the first two. And the third is your own flesh. You and I were born, unfortunately, with a sinful nature inherited from Adam and Eve. So our natural born tendency is to want to do things on our own. This was how Satan tempted Eve. He said, hey, God's holding out on you. You know, if you eat that fruit, you're going to become like him, knowing good from evil. And so Adam and Eve bought into that idea that they could become like God. They could run their own lives. And we have inherited that. So we have these three main enemies, the world, Satan, and our own flesh. And all three of these try to talk us into living a life apart from God. That's the bottom line. You can do it yourself. Oh, that little thing, you can handle it. You don't need to worry about that little tiny temptation. Everybody's doing it. And so we try to live life on our own. So also throughout the rest of this book, we're going to see Paul giving us a whole bunch of things that we should put off, that we should get rid of in our lives. And he's going to be showing us some other things that we should put on, that we should embrace in our lives and make a huge part of our lives. And I'm just here to tell you, as we've already been going over repeatedly, whether you're trying to get rid of certain things or embrace certain things, you and I, we need the Lord Jesus' help. He's the one. He has got all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We are complete in Christ. He's our space capsule. So whether we're trying to stop these certain things and put them to death and get rid of them, or embrace the others, we need the Lord Jesus Christ's help. And so this is summarized. I believe the theme of this book comes up in the next couple of verses. Here he goes. He says, "For even though I am absent in body, nevertheless I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ." Ours is a journey of faith, a journey of faith. He says, I rejoice to see your stability. In other words, when everything else in your life is moving, remember that the Lord Jesus is not. He is your solid rock. I'll just read this verse if you want to write it down. This is Isaiah 54:10. I love this promise. It says, "For the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you, and my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord who has compassion on you." It doesn't matter what else moves in your life. He is there. He has got you in his powerful hand. So I want to see the stability of your faith in Christ, Paul said. Go on to verse 6. "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." Now, I think that verse and the next verse are probably the theme of this whole book. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. How did you receive him? Or simply, you received him by faith. You put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that your salvation is by grace, God's grace. It's something mighty and powerful and almost impossible that he did. It is by grace through faith. You and I accept it by faith. That's how you received him. If you look over at verse 4 of chapter 1, Paul already mentioned that. He said, "Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus." Right? That's what brings about our salvation. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not something that we earn. I cannot earn my way into heaven. Many people are on that program. They just have this idea that if they do enough good things, that their good things will outweigh their bad things, and then God will let them into heaven. And according to the Bible, it's not going to happen. The Bible says we are desperately lost. Desperately lost. Then this is so important. I want you to just keep your finger here and flip back to Galatians chapter 3 for just a moment. Paul gets pretty excited about this topic. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. He says, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith?" Now, as you go on and read the next verse, which we'll do in just a second, but it just becomes obvious. The only right answer he's expecting here is, it was by faith. It was not by the works of the law. Keep going in verse 3. He says, "Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh?" So he's talking about the same idea. When you came to Christ, it was because you put your faith in him. He did the work, you just trusted him for it. And so if you go back to chapter 2, Colossians 2, verse 6, "As you receive the Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." So this is how you continue your walk with the Lord. This is how you are complete in Christ. You began by faith, and now you're going to continue that journey by faith. It's going to be a daily journey of faith from start to finish. And he completes the idea in verse 7. Look at that with me. He says, "Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude." So when you put those two verses together, the idea that you get is that we began by faith, and now we are to live stable, strong, rock-solid lives by faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 7, I believe, especially shows us that we have to move beyond that first decision to trust Christ as our Savior. And we have to learn to trust him for every day. We have to learn to bring him into every single day. You know, that one day was an amazing day. I know it was for me. It was life-changing. I think back to it, and I'm just so excited. I remember the freedom from guilt. I remember the excitement about the life in front of me. All those things. But today's a new day. Today I have new challenges. I have new temptations. I have new obstacles in my path. What's going to get me past those? According to the Bible, the Lord Jesus is. He is going to carry us through this, guiding us, strengthening us, walking the journey with us. We belong to him. And amazingly, the Bible says he belongs to us. We are now partners in life, walking this journey together. And he says, so much so that you'll be overflowing with gratitude. You'll be walking by faith with the Lord Jesus Christ to such a degree that you're going to be just excited and thankful for life, because you're thankful he's beside you, that he's your guide, that he is your strength, that he is your song. We're going to keep going and get some more handles from Paul about this, but I'd like to leave you with a couple of quick stories, because I don't think we can think about this enough. Because it's a little bit slippery sometimes, right? The journey of faith, it's a little bit slippery. But here's a couple of things that have meant a lot to me. I read about this one young man who, for the first 30-some years of his life, had been far from the Lord. He becomes a Christian. He's just finally convinced that he's a sinner. He humbles his heart before the Lord. Lord, I am so sorry for my sin. Please forgive me. Please save my soul. And he begins this journey with the Lord. He's so excited about it. Well, one day he's out and about in town, and he sees an old friend. I don't remember their names. I did know them at the time. Anyhow, let's say it's George. George comes up and says, Harry, man, it's so great to see you. We've been missing you. Where have you been? Well, I'm on this new journey with the Lord now. Harry, you got to join us Friday night. It's going to be the best party ever. Well, Harry doesn't want to go because he knows what happens at those parties. And it was a major part of his old life. But George keeps hammering on him. You can't let, you know, the guys miss you. You can't just ditch your old buddies. I mean, he makes him, guilts him, does everything. Finally, Harry says, okay, I'll come. So he shows up at the party, and it is every bit as tempting and as terrible as it always was. He's been there for about 30 minutes, and he goes to his old friend, George. George, I've got to go. Harry, you just got here. You can't leave. No, George. I have lost something very precious to me. I've got to go find it. Without saying another word, he heads straight for that door, walks out that door, walks out into the city towards his home, and the whole way he's talking to the Lord. Lord, don't let me slip. Hold me tight. Keep me going. And he is finding himself restored to that beautiful relationship that he was afraid for a second there he was going to mess up on. Here's another true story. I didn't know this fellow personally, obviously. But when I was younger, I read a book called Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret. Hudson Taylor was back in the day, I'm thinking probably 1800s, I'm not sure about the date. But he was a very well-known missionary to China. One of the ones that kind of paved the way for things over there. And the book is called His Spiritual Secret. I would encourage you to read it sometime if you have opportunity. But in case you don't get to, I'm going to give you the spoiler right now. Over the course of this missionary's life, he discovered, I believe, what he's describing is what it means to be complete in Christ. You know, for the first part of his Christian journey and the first part of his work in China, struggling, battling with discouragement, you know, the highs and the lows, the ups and the downs, being knocked off his feet by how great the needs were, on and on and on, every obstacle that hit him. Later in his Christian life, he came to this conviction. The Lord Jesus Christ is everything I need. No matter what I face, no matter what obstacle I hit, no matter how hard I feel like I get knocked down, he is with me. And this man, so many things happened. He would ask the Lord for hundreds of new missionaries, and the Lord would give them. He just started walking complete in Christ, trusting the Lord every day of his life and just seeing his lives and the lives of those around him change. Brothers and sisters, I believe this is who God wants us to be, complete in Christ, walking with Christ, filled with the Lord Jesus Christ, finding all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge that are hidden in Him that He wants to pour into our lives and enable us to go through life by faith. Please pray together with me. Dear Lord in heaven, I want to thank you again for this book. I thank you for the servant of yours who wrote it, the Apostle Paul. I thank you, Lord, for his life journey and how we read about him in the book of Acts and in all of his books, and we just see him walking with you. Lord, we know you're the same today as you were for Paul, as you were for Hudson Taylor. Lord, as you were for many other heroes of our faith. Lord, today we want to be the 21st century heroes of the faith. And so we pray that you would just come into our lives in a powerful and special way here again today. Lord, set our feet on this journey of walking with you, of being complete in Christ. And help us not to waver from it, I pray. In your name, Lord Jesus, amen. Amen. All right, well, our ladies are going to come lead us in a final song. If you would like to pray with someone, a couple of us we'll be in the back. We would love to pray with you about any of the things we've been talking about or anything else on your heart. Love you all.